Good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. I can't imagine that I'm the only one that is deeply troubled by the recent violence against Mr. Trump. There are other violent events that have occurred not just in the last week or so, but for some time in this country. So I have a few thoughts that are based on some different news items and some meditations that I came across. And I'm hoping that by the time I finish this, that I will have to say, or I should say, what the Holy Spirit has said to me, and that I will have some clarity for myself about all of this. How can I go about spreading the peace of God, the peace of Christ, that passes all understanding? I struggle with the violence and hate and power that dominate the news stories about the world. Where is the light of Christ? Where is the ultimate truth? Today's gospel surely should have prepared me in every way for this train of thought. It has elements of violence and elements of hate and elements of power. And Herod offers us a glimpse of the struggle that most of us have faced in some time, in some way in our lives. We do something. We do something that we know is wrong. But we're afraid to do it, and we're afraid not to do it. Herod feared John. He knew that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. An oath. Not an oath to God. And guests kept him from doing the right thing. What keeps us from doing the right thing? So this is the quote that I was going to share with you last week that I had failed to bring with me. And it fits today as just as well. God of thy goodness, give me thyself. For thou art enough for me, and I can ask for nothing less that can be full honor to thee. And if I ask anything that is less, ever shall I be in want. For only in thee have I all. That's Julian of Norwich, who was one of the great mystics of the Christian faith. So in the shadow of this gospel, this particular incident troubled me deeply. July 2nd, 2024. The indigenous image of Jesus Christ by an acclaimed iconographer has been removed from a New Mexico church for unspecified reasons. This was done just after the bishops of the U.S. had affirmed support for the inclusion of indigenous stories and symbols to be included in the church. It was painted by Robert Lentz. It's called the Apache Christ, 8-foot icon depicting Jesus as a Mescalero holy man with the inscription in Apache, giver of life. Another image was removed, image of dancing Apache dancers, and the beautiful hand-carved frame that was made specifically for it was dismantled and put somewhere, and no one knows exactly where. They interviewed a parish staffer who did not want to use his or her name. And he recounted that the priest of this is a Catholic parish, by the way, that the priest had told the congregation in a sermon that the Apache Christ icon was problematic because it didn't meet the Catholic rubrics. And she asked to provide details about what that meant, but he had no further explanation. In a sermon, however, talking about Lent's image, he said, God comes first. You cannot be both an Apache and a Catholic. You have to choose. You cannot be both. You have to leave those ways and that way of life behind. You have to choose. Just a reminder that much of what I say every Sunday, and this Sunday particularly, comes from somewhere else. And if you're interested in the references, please see me and I'll be happy to give them to you. Brother Curtis didn't write this in response to this incident, but it is, as Brother Curtis usually is, relevant. He says, whatever kind of spiritual armor you need for your own protection, pray for that. It's a good way to begin the day. This is a way of cooperating with God's provision and protection and power to face the challenges of life with confidence and freedom. Get armored up first thing and know that you can indeed function through God's protection. Headline: vending machines selling ammunition. Ammunition will now be in grocery stores in Alabama, Texas, and Oklahoma. According to the American Rounds website, the distributor of the machines, AI technology scans the customer's identification and facial recognition software to verify a customer's identity. I'm going to insert here that I in no way am saying anything or preaching anything about gun control. I am preaching about what we do and how we find evil in so many places in the world. Headline: 16-year-old dead, two others hurt in Auburn shooting. A 16-year-old boy was shot and killed Friday evening in Auburn, police say. The boy was found with at least one gunshot wound. He was pronounced dead at the scene despite life-saving efforts. Two other boys were also shot and taken to the hospital. They've been released. Both Michael Curry and our bishop responded to the event of the assassination attempt on Mr. Trump. And they both asked to join as the church in prayer and to be the light to others. Prayer that God will end violence, that no spouse or child or parent will ever have to live in fear at the sound of a gunshot wound, of a gunshot. Right Reverend E. Mark Stevenson says, may the loving God bring peace to this world. I think I shared with you last week or the week before the prayer that came out of General Convention to remember the innocents. We will always remember them. Dear Lord, Almighty God, we pray for all Indigenous children who were in residential and boarding schools in Canada and the United States. Some died there. We ask that you give assurance to their descendants that their souls are with you and their ancestors. Some survived. We ask that you give your healing grace to all who endured hardship while they were there and are still struggling with those memories. We ask you to help us guard our children against harm in this world. In the name of Jesus. Martin Luther King said, true peace is not merely the absence of tension, it is the presence of justice. In the words of an Indigenous prayer, O Great Spirit, whose voice I hear in the winds and whose breath gives life to all the world, hear me. I am small and weak. I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty and make my eyes ever behold the red and purple sunset. Make my hands respect the things you have made and my ears sharp to hear your voice. Make me wise that I may understand the things you have taught my people. Let me learn the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek strength, not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes, so when life fades as the fading sunset, my spirit may come to you without shame. For all its flaws, the church is what we have. The church is the place that we can center around and gather together and be in the spirit and place of goodness and mercy and justice. This place, you all, these people, you, the people of Christ, his disciples in the modern world. as a church, we can confront violence and hate with love and kindness. And each one of us is a church in and of ourselves in a way, because we are called to share the message, whether it's in church or whether it's with anybody else. It might be in the food line. Who knows? So in the spirit of what we did during Lent, which to talk about how the roots of some of our hymns, I thought I would do that this morning with with Go Tell It on the Mountain. The reference is from the hymnal website, and it states that it's more than just a hymn. It's a historical narrative, a message of liberation, and a testimony to the enduring human spirit. Its journey from the plantations of the South to the global stage is a story of transformation and hope, resonating across all generations. As we continue to share its message, we honor the legacy of John Wesley Work Jr., the Fisk Jubilee Singers, and countless unnamed voices who sang for freedom and brought this spiritual to life. So in the Bible, the mountain is where the holy presence of God is. Moses went up to the mountain, he got the Ten Commandments, and to see the promised land. Jesus is transfigured on the mountain. There are so many events that happen in what is a high place, closer to God, considered to be a holy place of God. Psalm 24 asks, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?" We all can. We all can. When Christ is born, God's presence came down to his people in a new form, a helpless little baby. And it doesn't end there. We start with Christmas, and it points us to Easter. And Christ ripped the temple curtain and became the bridge between us and the Father. God's presence among us and in us. The words, "Go tell it on the mountain," we find a reminder of our shared humanity, our capacity for resilience, and the transformation of power of music to uplift, unite, and inspire. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus is the truth. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus is the light that can overcome the darkness. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus is the source of peace that passes all understanding. And we won't find that anywhere else. Finally, in the words of our diocesan bishop, his banner for his tenure, "Love Jesus, embody justice, be disciples." Amen. Please stand.